go.
Houston, flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety conference go.
FDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right-side patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and sitting by, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It is Tuesday night. It is the 22nd of March, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good. I haven't blown away because it's been awfully, awfully windy here for the past couple of days, which is, you know, it's not that unusual here in the north part of Nebraska for it to be windy, especially this time of the year. But we have not gotten a whole lot of snow over the winter months. Therefore, it is really dry. And because of the wind, it's extra dry. And any little spark in the grass of the sandhills sets off a fire. In fact, up north of Valentine, a few miles up into South Dakota, they had one lit off today. Earlier this afternoon, because the wind coming out of the north, it was pushing it to the south at a pretty good clip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the weird thing about these grass fires is the flames are not very big, but they sure put off a lot of smoke. And unless you get every last square inch of it put out, it'll just flare right back up and start all over again. They had about a half a dozen, last I knew, about a half a dozen fire crews up there working on it today. But they had one south of North Platte last week that had 17 different fire crews on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got to be careful this time of year.
Yeah. Well, sure. I can understand that. We're getting a little cold front here. Tomorrow,
you know,
in Florida. Yeah, not much. We're going to, you know, as the temperatures start creeping up to the 80s, low 80s, still low humidity. Tomorrow it's going to be 50 when we wake up in the morning.
Wow. Our high tomorrow, I think, is supposed to be 48.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been up and down like a yo-yo. A couple of days ago, it was 70 degrees here, you know, and this coming Sunday, it's supposed to be like 74 to 76 degrees, so who knows?
Okay. Hey, everybody's weather is kind of messed up at this time of the year.
You know, we'll take what we can get. We'd like to get some rain, but, you know, as long as it's not snowing and icing, we'll take what we can get this time of the year. Folks, we got a big show planned for you tonight. Obviously, we're going to talk about things in Ukraine and those goofy Supreme Court nominee hearings that have been going on all freaking day today. But, Diane, you're covering Biden's economic war on America.
Yes. And believe me, it is some war.
Well, and obviously, wars are not accidents, so this is being done on purpose, is your contention.
Absolutely. I'll get into that in a little bit.
Speaking of the weather, I'm talking about the weather versus the war tonight.
Well, you know, when you kind of make the weather part of a war, you know, from the loony left side, kind of makes sense to talk about it.
Yeah, word of warning to the listener, stand by for snark in less than an hour. All right, so yeah. Ukraine. They've still got the war going on over in Ukraine. Things are not getting any better, but one of the most interesting parts of it is Ukraine is not willingly giving up an inch.
No, in fact, today, or I should say yesterday, because of the time difference, they actually took back a suburb of Kiev.
Well, and they've been fighting tooth and nail over in Mariupol, too. But yeah, that north, is it the northern edge of Ukraine? They actually, the Ukrainians actually took back that little section, north section of Kiev.
Yeah, that's the suburb of Kiev, one of them that they took back. So, you know, they're going strong. Zelensky is an amazing man. He is a true patriot. And like I've said in the past, I think he has the makings of being a Bibi Netanyahu or a Ronald Reagan.
Now, there are people on Facebook who would argue with you and do argue with you and me when it comes to that. You know, they say, oh, he's a plant. He's a Soros plant. He's this, he's that. And yet they can't provide any evidence of it.
Well, what these, and I do call them idiots, what these idiots do forget is all the corruption that was happening in Ukraine was happening at the time of the Obama-Biden administration. That's when all the Burisma and all that stuff was going on with Hunter Biden. The man who was president then was an Obama-supported person. Zelensky ousted him in mid-2019. He was not part of the Ukrainian corruption.
That's right.
But you but can't get that through these people's heads. It's like they just don't want to listen.
No, they've got their minds made up. He's a George Soros plant. He's corrupt. He's evil. He's this. He's that. You know, and right. I'm sorry, but I've done my research, and I'm not buying that line of crap.
I'm not either. You know, this man was given a way out. He could have left Ukraine with money, with his family, been safe and sound. No, he said no. He wanted to stay and fight for his country. And anybody who doesn't give this man credit, I'm sorry, you're dead wrong.
You know, you call them idiots, but honestly, I think some of them actually give idiots a bad name. I ran into a couple of people over the past couple of days that swear up and down that Zelensky is a Nazi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Jew Zelensky, who lost a good part of his family in the Holocaust to Hitler, is a Nazi. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
I know. That's, yeah, you know, I keep telling him, he's Jewish.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a Nazi. You know, and the Russians are fighting him because he's a Nazi. He's not a Nazi. Yeah.
The only one who's a Nazi and who's channeling his inner Hitler is Vladimir Putin.
Well, according to one Putin spokesman, nukes are not off the table.
No, they're not. Neither is chemical weapons. In fact, the Medvedev, the placeholder for Putin, you know, when he had to step down because of term limits until he can come on, was talking about the nukes again today. Oh, no, they're not off on the table, but it's only if we consider somebody aggressive towards us. But the way I look at it is, you know, our country, Craig, used to be strong. It was strong under President Trump. It was strong under Reagan. We used to be the country that people looked up to for help when help was really needed. Now we're a country being laughed at because of this administration, because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. we are making a terrible mistake. We are letting Putin dictate how a war will be fought. It's okay if he brings in fighters from Syria and this and that, if he gets this from China, that from China, that's okay. But Ukraine cannot do that. And God forbid he's threatening the United States. In fact, today there was talk about major cyber wars here in our country. However, Biden already told him which targets he shouldn't touch and which are okay. That was in the news today.
That was stupid.
That was this. Biden has caused this with his, remember, minor incursion allowed. Well, to Putin, this is a minor incursion. We need to either send a volunteer army to help the Ukrainians, volunteer folks, and there are many military who would volunteer for this, or at least give them the jets they need, the fighter planes they need. Their pilots can fly them. We're not the ones that are would be flying them. The Ukrainians would. Let them have the jets.
Well, you know, the Biden regime says, well, we can't do that because we might upset Putin.
Tough. Well, who the hell is Putin to tell us what to do? But Biden is kowtowing, and I really believe because Putin has all the information on the Biden's dirty dealings with Ukraine, and he's using it as blackmail.
Of course. Of course he is.
And Obama's name is in it, you know.
But why are we allowing, I mean, other than sheer stupidity and blackmail, why are we allowing Vladimir Putin to run our foreign policy?
Because we have an administration that is not loyal to America.
Well, there is that.
Biden is actually what I call aiding and abetting the enemy by his inactions.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's shameful at best, you know, but stupid in reality. This whole thing, you know, you look at what's happening over there in Ukraine, and I've said it before and I'll say it again tonight. Putin might actually take the land, but he will never control the people of Ukraine.
Never. Never. Even Mariupol, which is basically now in Russian control, they're out there protesting. The Ukrainians don't want this war. The Russian people, as they're finding out more and more the truth about what's going on, they don't want this war. 3 million Russians, folks, have already been arrested for protesting the war. But that's not, you know, gotten out there a lot because that looks bad for Putin. Putin is not only controlling the war, he's controlling the dialogue of the war.
And there's no reason to allow that.
That makes him a winner.
Yeah, there's no reason to allow that. Now, it was interesting. Yesterday, Arnold Schwarzenegger put out an interesting video where he's addressing not only the Russian people, but the Russian military, and telling them you're not being told the truth, you're being lied to. Ukraine is not in the control of Nazis, you know, and I mean, he's just laying it on the line, and it's got Russian subtitles in it.
Ah, okay.
You know, so it's a very interesting video. Now, I don't agree 100% with the things that I hear from Arnold Schwarzenegger. In fact, you know, he talks about the January 6th insurrection this video. Yeah. It was anything but.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, in the 90 percentile in this video, I agree 100%. With Schwarzenegger, and he kind of knows what he's talking about. I mean, his family was Austrian. His father, Arnold's father, was actually part of the Nazi war machine back in World War II. Yeah, Arnold knows what Nazis are. He knows what Nazis aren't. He knows that the Russian people do not want this war. They did not ask for this war. They're not behind this war, and they're suffering because of the war. And he's trying to get the truth to them.
Well, the good thing is there has been musings all over the internet about some of the Russian oligarchs, the ones who are living in the West, are working on plans to actually eliminate Putin via poisoning. Putin does have a food taster now, guys. He's nervous about this. And if they're saying if they can somehow get rid of Putin, they have a man who would step into power who wants capitalism in Russia, who wants the old way of thinking, the old regimes gone. Eliminate Putin and you have a chance of bringing Russia into the West.
How would you like to have the job as Putin's food taster?
No, thank you.
First
I'm picky enough with food. I'm not taking that.
You know, first of all, I'm not into borscht. And second of all, if anybody's going to get poisoned, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. There's a job I would not want.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's scary about all this, though, is the nuke issue is still hovering on the table. And there is a military doctrine for the Russian military. And what it is they envision the use of nuclear weapons in a first-use scenario if it is losing a conventional conflict. And that's what's happening now, folks. They are losing a conventional war, especially a house-to-house war. The Ukrainians are winning on urban warfare over the Russians. And some of the Russian men, the military who go in, they're not shooting at the Ukrainians. This is not what they signed up in the army for.
Well, a lot of them weren't even told they were going to war. They were told it was some sort of an exercise.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you how you handle the situation when Russia says nukes are not off the table. You simply pick up the phone and make a public announcement over here that, oh, well, okay, Russia says nukes aren't off the table. Let's get ours out there on the table. That's how you respond to that.
You're not talking about a President Trump here. You're talking about Obama's puppet here.
Well, yes, I know. But, I mean, that's why I say the proper way to handle nukes are not off the table is to simply clear the table and put your nukes on it.
True.
You know, say you tell me nukes are not off the table. All righty then, let's get ours out.
Here's ours.
Yeah,
you know, you
show me yours.
Realize together with NATO and the United States versus Putin, there's enough nukes to wipe each other out, and that's extremely scary. Although Russia is talking about a tactical nuke, which is much less. It still would create enough fallout to kill thousands and thousands of people. It would still cause enough damage to make certain areas of Ukraine look like Mariupol, which they're saying right now there's no buildings left. They've all been leveveled.
Right, right.
That's what some of them who are escaping. And today, Craig, I don't know if you heard this, Putin has even started little musings about Poland. He's very mad at Poland for taking in the Ukrainians, and he has to think long and hard about how he is going to handle Poland.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He handles Poland under Article 5. We have to go in as NATO.
Yep. I mean, look, he can.
And maybe that's what he wants.
He can bloviate all he wants, but, you know. You say you got tactical nukes? Well, so do we. You know, you show us yours, we'll show you ours.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way you handle it. But, you know, things are continuing in Ukraine as we slide into the evening hours here in our country. You know, they're 7 hours ahead of us, so it's literally the middle of the night over there. It's about going on 20 minutes past 1 o'clock over there in the morning.
Two. When you go for the time, you go by the Eastern time. So it's a little bit after 2 a.m. in the morning.
Well, 2 a.m. Eastern time. I'm looking at my clock, and, you know, we go by actual time here. You know, and it's only 6:20 here. So, but, yeah, I mean, things are progressing. We're keeping an eye on it. We'll have updates for you. If you check into breaking news on RSPradio1.com, if there's anything breaking, we'll get it up there right away. Check our social media sites and tune in right here at RSPradio1.com on Friday. And we'll be talking about the latest in Ukraine. Now, we got about 10 minutes left in this segment. And earlier today, I was tuning in and tuning out, tuning back in and tuning back out because I literally needed a barf bag. I was watching as much as I could of the SCOTUS hearing today, and I'm telling you, this woman, who is the nominee for the Supreme Court, has absolutely no business being there.
Absolutely no business at all. In fact, Craig, in my opinion, she's nothing but an activist judge who will rule as such and push forward the liberal agenda instead of following the rule of law as set down in the Constitution. And this is what happens when a nominee is picked strictly on race and color instead of qualifications.
Well, she was being asked today some very simple questions regarding the Constitution, which is, by the way, the law of the land.
Right.
And something that every judge at every level should know frontwards and backwards. And she couldn't answer those questions. She was trying her best to dodge them and work her way around them.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the highlights for me were something Ted Cruz said.
Oh, Ted was on fire when he was talking about CRT.
Right. In fact, he asked Jackson, and her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson, so I'll just call her Jackson. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just not saying a mouth of names here. When he asked her about critical race theory, she said she's not sure if critical race theory is being taught at a Georgetown Day School, which is an elite private school in D.C., and it's a school where she serves on the board of trustees. Now, when during his part of the questioning, he found it a little what he called hard to reconcile Jackson's previous comments about CRT and the fact that she serves on the board of the very school that promotes the entire concept. And what she basically did was, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm this. I'm that. But guess what? We want our kids to go shop in gender neutral stores. I mean,
wait. What in the hell is a gender neutral store, and how many are there in this country?
You mean transgenders?
No. I'm not talking about transgenders. I'm talking about gender neutral stores. What the hell is a gender neutral store?
Yeah, but that's encompassing. What they were really zeroing in on was encompassing those who change. Let's put it that way. I can tell you how many transgenders there are in this country. Would you like to know?
No, but go ahead.
Zero. Because unless you can change the chromosomes, unless you can change someone's DNA, okay, you can mess with the packages, you can mess with the insides a wee little bit, but unless you can change the DNA, you are as you were born. So there are zero transgenders in this country.
But I still don't. They tell these kids they should only shop at transgender stores or gender neutral stores.
Yeah.
So if you go into a clothing store,
mm-hmm.
and they have a men's section and a women's section, you got to get out?
Maybe they have to have a it section.
The Michelle Obama section?
That could be. That could actually be. But you know, another highlight was when she was grilled about the child pornography, how she was against harsh sentences for child pornography.
Yeah, what's up with that?
She did some not so good rulings, you know, letting child pornographers get off very, very lenient if they were a first or second time offenders. And I guess she never thought that would come back to haunt. But another thing, she has already made up her mind. Abortion is a closed issue. It's already been ruled on. Case closed.
Well, she got another thing coming because the Supreme Court is going to take up Roe v. Wade.
Exactly.
So
but
I
her
guess
mind's
it's not
made up,
settled.
So we already know how she would vote.
Well, I know her mind is closed, but she might have a rude awakening.
Yeah. Yeah, she is not the right person. But this is what happens when you make promises to the radical left. You pick anyone that fits your racial and your gender category, and that's how this woman was picked. She has absolutely zero qualifications to sit on the Supreme Court.
Kind of like Kamala Harris in a black robe. Kamala Harris was picked because she was a woman of color, not because she was qualified. Not because she knew anything about foreign policy, not because she had any wherewithal about her whatsoever. She just ticked off a couple of the boxes, and that was good enough. And look what we got.
Well, you forget one thing. Obama told Biden it's Harris.
Yes, but for that reason, it doesn't really matter who told him what. The simple fact of the matter is, you know, she's a heartbeat and a bad pudding pop away from the presidency, and she doesn't know what she's doing.
She has no clue. I heard right before we were going on that she did something stupid again today, but I'm not sure what it was at this point. She apparently stuck her foot in her mouth again.
Now, when you said she did something stupid again, that would indicate that at some point she quit doing stupid things.
Oh, I stand corrected. She did get another stupid thing.
You know, I mean, good Lord. But this is what happens when your qualification chart is skin color, gender, and whatever other social issues might be at the top of the list on a given Tuesday. I mean, you know, we should be choosing people for all positions that are absolutely the most qualified for the position. This Jackson woman has no qualifications whatsoever, other than she is already a judge. But as a judge, she's made piss poor decisions where she takes her skin color and her gender into account over the Constitution.
Exactly. And I mean, she is a true, she's going to adjudicate the Democrat agenda from the bench.
Yeah.
That's basically what's going to happen. And that's not how a Supreme Court justice is supposed to be. They're not supposed to be activist judges. They're supposed to interpret and enforce the Constitution. This woman will do none of that.
No.
She's
pathetic. She will get confirmed, but she is pathetic.
She'll get confirmed if any of the Republicans dare to cross over.
Well, right now, all she needs is the Democrat vote.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so, and it's only the Senate, so, you know, it's pretty much a dog and pony show at this point.
Unless Manchin and Sinema say no to her.
And that's possible, but I don't think it's a strong possibility. But listen, we've made it to the bottom of the hour. That means we have to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. Stand by for a snark attack coming up in 30 minutes. That's when I talk about the weather versus the war. But when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, Diane's got it with Biden's economic war on America. Stay with us, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. We're getting you through the Tuesday night edition of the show, but if you miss any part of it, we understand. Excuse me. That's why we have a podcast, and we put that up tomorrow morning. Go to rspradio1.com, click the podcast button. You become one of the pod people.
Mm-hmm.
We love our pod people.
Yes, and we're getting more and more of them every day.
Well, folks, I don't know if you realize it. Maybe you haven't noticed because it's so subtle. But your dollar doesn't go as far as it used to.
You think?
I'm pretty sure. I've heard rumors.
Yes.
Diane, you've decided to take on Biden's economic war on America.
Yes, and let's start by saying while Ukraine has dominated the 24/7 news cycle for weeks now, and rightfully so, going on here in our own country is an ongoing war of sorts being waged against both we the people and America herself. And it's an economic war comprised of three parts: a war on we consumers, a war on domestic oil production, and a war of invasion at our southern border, all courtesy of the scorched earth policies set into place by a faux president, his puppet master, and the Democrat Party itself. Now attempting to both sabotage and destroy all that we as America value and hold dear, Biden's economic war is but a last-ditch attempt to try and not only fundamentally change who and what America is, after all, Obama is pulling Biden's strings, but to force us to accept socialism as the only solution to remedy our country's ongoing economic woes. Simply, The promise of the America that was is to be replaced with an America that has been beaten down into submission so as to accept the policies of the left, policies that see our government ruling our lives via their dictating to us what we can and cannot do, where we can and cannot go, what to eat, when and if it becomes available, and what to buy and where and when to buy it. And might I add, basically to control what we think. And it's all being done in the name of initiating freedom's demise, because the Democrats see the writing on the wall for both 2022 and 2024. In other words, initiating payback even before the Democrats' election demise. So here, let's begin with part one of Biden's economic war on America, specifically his war on the American consumer. With inflation reaching its highest level in 40 years, we saw February's consumer price index, the CPI, rising to 7.9% from just a year ago. And even if you remove the across-the-board rise in both food and energy prices, which also moved sharply higher during February, that still sees core inflation rising 6.4%, the highest since August of 1982. And when you get into the specifics of consumer spending regarding gas prices, groceries, home purchases, and rental prices all going up as well, coupled with worker paychecks, purchasing power falling further and further behind said price increases, Biden's war on the American consumer is staring you right in the face, and it directly affects each of our pocketbooks. In fact, the average consumer now spends over $300 more per month on the very same items they purchased when Trump was in office. And even as grocery store shelves themselves become a victim of Biden's economic war on we consumers, and know it has nothing to do with the truckers or even the supply chain, as he so likes to claim, it's just part two of Biden's overall economic war that is hurting we the consumer the most, as in his war on domestic oil production. In what started at the Resolute desk, with but a stack of executive orders. After all, Biden had to keep his promises made to the far left. With pen in hand, Joe Biden canceled out all of President Trump's successful economic policies that made us energy independent. And it started, Craig, with his swapping said energy independence to us becoming a nation dependent on foreign oil, starting with his closing down the Keystone Pipeline, making deals with Russia for oil, and upping our purchases from OPEC. And these deals cost we Americans over $100 million per day, leaving some of us to wonder how much and by whom he was being paid to do what he happily did.
First of all, I'm not even sure he knew what he was signing that first day at the Resolute desk. You know, I mean, a stack of stuff, like you said, was put in front of him, and he just signed it because he was told to sign it. But let's not leave this gas price thing hanging. Let's dig into this a little bit deeper because, you know, Biden claims, that he's got things under control and that we're going to start seeing things that we're going to like at the gas pump. Is it true?
No, don't think for a minute that oil costs will start coming down anytime soon, to a great degree, that is, or that Biden is even trying to do everything he can to bring down the price at the pump, a price that has doubled or even tripled since Trump was in office, depending on where one lives, a price that sees the usual pump fill up now costing we the consumer over $20 more per tank. And even after he finally caved to bipartisan pressure to stop the importing of Russian oil, what with images out of Ukraine presenting the truth of right versus wrong, even what oil we lose from Russia will be made up for with Biden's purchasing more from OPEC oil, while at the same time continuing his groveling for the oil of a Venezuelan dictator, a Saudi king, and the mullahs of Iran, ignoring the fact that in the long run it would be both cost-efficient and help to create more jobs for American workers by opening up drilling sites, right here on American soil, adding, of course, his first reopening the Keystone Pipeline, Joe Biden instead continues to cater to the demands of the green far left while ignoring the wants and needs of the American consumer, now leaving the words drill, baby, drill to become the calling card of what he considers to be far-right malcontents. It's obvious that supply and demand be damned. Now, add to this that we learned just a few short weeks ago that the Biden administration also put even more new restrictions on the building of liquefied natural gas terminals here in the U.S., on top of the restrictions he already had in place, as in restrictions on the terminals we need to liquefy our supply of what is clean natural gas, gas that we ship worldwide and make money from. Money, Craig, that aids in what was America's economic success. Instead, Joe Biden has chosen to add even more to our country's previously stated $100 million per day loss by us not shipping natural gas or producing our own oil.
All right, so in a nutshell, if you want to see part one of Biden's economic war on America, you go to the grocery store. If you want to see part two, you go to the gas pump. Now, if you want to see part three, where exactly do you go to get a view of that?
Okay. To see part three of Biden's economic war on America comes the monetary ramifications the illegal invasion on our southern border has on our economy, an invasion Biden and his administration do nothing to contain, an invasion that costs we taxpayers billions of dollars a year while putting a severe putting a severe strain on our economy at the federal, state, and local levels. How so? Albeit briefly, most illegals coming through our southern border have come here with their hands out, and those who do work many times work in what's called the underground economy, where they do not pay into the tax system, while at the same time they collect welfare and other government-ordered benefits put in place by Democrat administrations. Also, while many Americans cannot afford health insurance, illegals see billions of our taxpayer-funded dollars being used for their medical needs, including for free emergency room services. And not to be forgotten is the cost that we taxpayers pay for both the incarceration of illegal immigrants as well as for the educating of illegal children. Illegals first, Americans last, is the card Biden is playing, and he's doing so in order to help Democrats secure the illegal vote, while we taxpayers foot the bill, a bill that most Americans can ill afford to pay, what with our economy tanking, inflation rising, and a war going on in Ukraine that could at any time turn into World War III. And while in fiscal year 2021, $17.7 billion were spent just on customs and border protection, which includes both the Border Patrol and the operation at ports of entry, illegal immigration increased in 2021, the first year of Biden as president, hitting a 20-year high with over 1.5 million illegals coming into our country. And while a small number of expulsions and deportations did happen, most who entered stayed, and with their hands out for free stuff in exchange for their votes, these illegals willingly drained and bilked the system, thus adding to our current economic woes. If that's not an economic war on America and Americans, then I don't know what is. And so with Biden continuing to push forward economic policies detrimental to America, he must keep his puppet master Obama happy after all. Biden's Economic Wars, Part 1, 2, and 3, finds him now blaming Vladimir Putin for all America's current economic woes. But no, Biden's blame game is solely being done in an effort to try and deflect off him what will be a 2022 political massacre of both he and his party, and rightly so. For we the people can only be pushed so far before we muster the courage and start pushing back. And mustering courage is a lesson we should learn from the Ukrainians who are now fighting for both their lives and for their country's very survival, something you'd probably never see most Democrats willing to do. Case closed.
You know, a couple of days ago, Diane, I had to go into town and I had to stop at the gas station because these days I don't want to be running very low on gas, you know, and so I only had to put in just a little less than one quarter of a tank. And now, it used to be I'd let it get down to half a tank or maybe even only have a quarter of a tank of gas before I'd fill it up. Not anymore, because I can't afford to drop that much gas into the tank all at once. So less than a quarter of a tank of gas cost me $21.50.
Okay.
Used to be I could get, well, I'm just saying, I'm not driving a great big thing. I'm driving a minivan. Yeah. Used to be that $20 worth of gas would get me a half a tank. Now it doesn't even buy me a full quarter of a tank.
Right. No, it's gotten to the point, I don't even want to say what gas cost us. It's obscene. But we are facing a three-pronged war. The consumer war, the war on oil, and basically, you know, the invasion at our southern border is a war for our country's survival.
Right. It sure is.
And they're doing, the Democrats are doing nothing about it. They don't care. Because they get the votes and they get to stay in power by hook or by crook. You know, with their, no, you can't have people voter ID. You can't have this. You can't have that. Our country is falling apart. And nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, I think starting this November, people are going to be doing something about it.
Well, you know, this November, we're also going to have to, you know, do mail-in ballots again because you do know another COVID variation will suddenly surface.
Well, sure. You know, I mean, can't have in-person voting, for God's sakes.
No.
You know,
no.
I mean,
we can't have voter IDs being shown. I mean, this election, guys, has to be monitored so closely. I mean, if you think 2020 had to be looked at closely, 2022 is worse.
Well,
because if we can take back the House and the Senate, we can basically render Biden and Obama impotent, politically impotent.
Right. But it's an uphill climb. I mean, we don't have to gain that many seats in the House or the Senate, but we have to gain. You know, and it's an uphill climb because we're fighting not only liberal Marxists who are promising all sorts of free crap to people that shouldn't even be here in exchange for their votes. We're also voting against the voting machines.
Right.
You know,
and
so
I don't think one Dominion machine should be allowed to be used. Not one.
Well, no, but you try to get that across and the Democrats will have a hemorrhage.
Doesn't matter. The Dominion's caused a lot of problems. Whether you believe the election was stolen or not, bad things happened with those machines. It's been proven.
Right. But
they
should not
be allowed to be used.
They're going to be used in November of this year. Now, if we retake the House and the Senate, we might be able to get rid of them before 2024. So, you know.
Yeah, we might be.
There's but that.
The problem is we have to take back both in 2022.
Yes.
It's not even an option. It's not an option anymore.
No, it's a must. But folks, there's a lot of information in this article. A lot of the things that you see and feel every day, whether it's going to the grocery or whether it's just filling up gas because you're taking the kids to and from school, doesn't matter. You're feeling the pain at the pump. You're feeling the price hikes. You're feeling the inflation. And you know as well as I do, even if you got a raise this year, your raise is not keeping up with that inflation.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, you're falling further and further behind.
Almost on a daily basis.
Because the inflation is so high.
Yeah. Folks, you want to get this article, you want to take a look at it and share it because you want to understand exactly why your dollar isn't going as far as it did a little over a year ago. And this is not going to get better anytime soon, but there is a couple of great ways you can get your hands on the article and the link so you can share it. You either go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you go to rspradio1.com. Either way, you can grab the link and you can share it everywhere, and this deserves to be shared so that people have a good understanding of what's going on. Now, I talked about what it cost me to put less than a quarter of a tank of gas into my van a couple of days ago, about a week ago. A friend of mine who drives a semi for a living posted up a picture of the pump where he filled up his semi. Ooh, okay. Boy. Now, you know, I mean, I've always known it costs a lot to fill up the tanks on a semi because they hold a lot of gas, right? A lot of diesel. I call it gas. It's diesel. I know. Okay. So what used to cost him $500 at the pump now cost him almost $850 at the pump.
Sure.
So if you're wondering why the price at the grocery store is going up, it's because everything that comes to the grocery store is delivered there in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the more it costs to get it from point A to point B, the more you're going to pay for it in the checkout line.
Right. It's not only that everything has gone up, it's also less produce, less product is in the stores.
Right.
Because the truckers can't get it there because, you know, I'm sick of hearing everything's, you know, off the coast sitting on ships from China. We have got to start manufacturing solely in the United States. Screw China.
Well yeah, because they're getting ready to screw the rest of the world. So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
We need to beat them
we
to
need
it.
To buy American. I won't buy anything from China.
Well, in some cases, it's hard not to. You know,
you can
but
do it.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, I mean, you look around and you can do it. It's a lot easier to do it when you can go to where you need to buy it in person. Okay. A lot of times when you have to buy stuff online, and unfortunately where I live, there is no place to shop in person really. So you're stuck with online orders, and a lot of times you don't know where the hell that stuff is coming from, but most of the time it is coming from China.
That's true. Well, I make a policy unless it's absolutely necessary. I don't shop online. I don't like giving out my credit card numbers. I don't like giving out information. That's how you get hacked, folks.
Yeah.
And your identity is stolen.
I agree with you, and I don't do it very often, but I had to buy a couple of cables for my computer. It sits here on my desk. And there is no place here that has the cables I need. So I had to order them online. I ordered them online 2.5 weeks ago. It's still going to take another 2 weeks to get them to me.
Oh,
that's,
no.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy.
Yes. Yes. You know?
But that's the way it is. And I guarantee you they're made in China. I guarantee it.
Probably. You know.
But yeah, it's always nice if you can buy American first and buy American exclusively. But until American manufacturing comes back, it's not always going to be the easiest thing to do.
Well, you know what? If we get Trump back in 2024, or DeSantis, if Trump doesn't run, I think things will change. And they'll change very fast.
I think so, too. You know, speaking of Ron DeSantis, and this is a little off the topic of the economic war on America, but Ron DeSantis today proclaimed that the girl who got the female swimmer that got beat by the dude pretending to be a female swimmer, Ron DeSantis said that the actual female swimmer is the fastest female swimmer in the country.
Right, and he recognized her, and she's going into the Florida Swimming Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she's from Sarasota, as I recall. And, I mean, how unfair is that? You know, that she's got to compete against a dude, and the dude wins.
And the dude still had his package when he was swimming.
Uses it as as a rudder. Helps him steer.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Oh, and he even said in some interview, oh, no, he still likes girls. Mm-hmm. Sure he does. He likes to use them because he can't win as a male, so he'll pretend to be a female.
Yeah, as a dude, when he was swimming as a dude, he was ranked like 240th in the country, but as a girl, the dude is number one.
Yeah. He needs to be put in a psychiatric hospital.
But he does have a theme song.
Does he really?
Yeah, absolutely. Steven Tyler's Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Folks, go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Grab the link to Diane's op-ed. It's right there, right now, Biden's economic war on America. And share that link everywhere you can. Get the word out as to what's really going on. With that, we've made it to the top of the hour. We got to take a quick top of the hour break, get a couple of station IDs in, and then snark attack.
Okay.
Yep, the weather versus the war. You know, I got to tell you right off, I didn't think it was possible for John Kerry to be a bigger butthead than I thought he was.
I did. I think he has a lot of butthead coming in him.
He has exceeded my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. And I am going to give John Kerry the treatment coming up here in just a couple of minutes. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after that.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. and join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, and once again, if you miss any part of the show, go to RSPRadio1.com. Tomorrow morning, podcast will be up. Just click the podcast button. You're set. Doesn't cost you anything. Don't have to sign up for anything. Just listen and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so like I said going into the break, I didn't think John Kerry could be a bigger butthead than he's been for all these years, but he has exceeded my expectations. I had the bar set pretty low, and he's crawled under it.
Oh, you know what? And he'll continue to do so.
I believe you're right.
The last of
I don't think so. The weather versus the war. Just over a week ago, John Lurch Kerry found an open mic at the annual CERAWeek, I think that's how you pronounce it, CERAWeek conference in Houston, Texas, and proclaimed, and I quote, "We're already seeing climate refugees around the world. If you think migration has been a problem in Europe, in the Syrian war, or even from what we see now, wait until you see 100 million people for whom poobah of bull poo and Biden's U.S. special presidential envoy for climate just can't contain his contempt for the fact that there are bigger fish to fry than the weather." According to Lurch, nobody should be giving a flying rat's ass about being on the verge of World War III, out of control inflation, or gas prices creeping up faster than Biden creeps up on a 12-year-old girl to give her an old, good old-fashioned sniffing. God damn it, focus on the freaking weather. Now, before I dismantle this absurd remark of John Lurch Kerry, allow me to first point out the glaring problems with climate change. You see, back in the 1970s, almost exactly, give or take a couple of days, 51 years ago, we were all told that we were headed for the deep freeze because if we failed to change our ways, there would be an ice age apocalypse in our near future. Then, in the 1990s, Al, I invented the Internet Gore, told us that unless we changed our ways, we were all headed for the pizza oven. The ice caps were going to melt. Polar bears would simply self-combust, and the world would be toast. In the early 2000s, after one global warming conference after the other was canceled due to blizzards, the cult of global warming became the cult of climate change. Since then, not a single leader has been able to tell us if it's going to get hotter, colder, or what we should plan to wear. Hence, climate change. So that whatever the weather does, whether it's hotter, colder, windier, rainier, drier, they're covered. They call it climate change, while intelligent people just refer to it as the weather. Now, I do hate to break it to Lurch, Diane, but the climate on this, the third rock from the sun, has been changing for the past 4.5 billion years. And I don't give a happy crap how much money he wants to throw at the weather. The climate cannot be bought off.
And I have news for people. The weather is going to keep changing for another 8 billion years from now when our sun goes nova. And there's nothing these loons in D.C. are going to be able to do about it.
Well, you know, there you go, spouting off scientific fact again.
True.
Gotta stop that. But
It makes too much sense.
Well, yeah, that's right. So let's have another look at that butt-stupid statement Lurch made a few days ago. Quote, "We're already seeing climate refugees around the world," unquote. Really? Where exactly? Where are all these people Lurch claims are fleeing the weather? Now, maybe we should start by asking Lurch what exactly they're trying to run away from. If things are getting warmer, are the fabled climate refugees moving to someplace that's cooler? And if it's getting colder, are the climate refugees moving to someplace warmer? People move around every day. But so far, I haven't heard of any Eskimos moving to Florida, nor have I heard tell of retired people at the villages moving to Fairbanks. Now, back in the day, pre-human species moved out of Africa headed for Europe, among other places. And who could blame them? Africa was full of things and beasties that would think nothing of having Lucy over for dinner and then having Lucy for dinner. But they also made the move because Africa was pretty damn hot and Europe was where all the cool kids wanted to hang out. Eventually, as humans evolved, they started moving all over the place. Some like it rainy. Some preferred a drier place to call home, and still others liked it warmer, cooler, windier, or whatever. At some point down the line, people started building houses, and they found ways to deal with the weather, which led people who wanted to get away from it all to settle in Kansas. The thing of it was, and still is today, that wherever you go, there you are, and there also is the weather. Diane, you can't hide from the weather. God knows some folks have tried, but nobody has ever succeeded. The weather is everywhere. And just like the climate, it is always changing.
Well, didn't Carrie recently make a very interesting comment about all this?
Well, yeah.
I believe he did.
Yeah, when he was talking about the climate refugees, you know, he went on to say, and again I quote, "If you think migration has been a problem in Europe, in the Syrian war, or even in what we see now, wait until you see 100 million people for whom the entire food production capacity has collapsed," unquote. So let's examine that particular bit of ass-hattedness, shall we? First of all, according to a recent headcount, there are roughly 7.753 billion people currently habitating our planet. I say roughly because the headcount was done in 2020 and because people keep moving about, as I mentioned earlier. But let's go with that number, 7.753 billion people. Now, according to Lurch, only 100 million out of the 7.753 or so billion will become climate refugees. Granted, it'll take two men and a truck a bit of time to move 100 million people, but where in the hell are they going to go? You also have to consider that Lurch claims they will become climate refugees because the entire food production capacity will collapse. The entire food production capacity, all of it, from the last bean sprout to the last farting cow, the entire food production capacity will collapse. If the entire food production capacity collapses, it won't matter where the 100 million climate refugees go. There won't be any food. They could stay home and not have any food. Why on earth would they pack up all their crap and move to someplace else that doesn't have any food production capacity when they already have that where they are now? Apparently, the overwhelming vast majority of people on Earth, 7.753 billion, less 100 million, would be smart enough to just sit tight and wait for 100 million head of livestock to wander by. Some folks might prefer Chinese food, others might be hungry for Italian. And if the Chinese or Italians happen to stroll past somebody's home, well, bon appetit. One thing we do know for sure, Diane, is that none of Lurch's 100 million climate change refugees will be coming to our country. And that's because under Biden's insane policies, nobody can afford to be warmer or cooler depending upon the weather.
Oh, dear, the weather. But Carrie went on to say even more nonsense. And what I'm wondering, is he really stupid enough to believe the nonsense he's spouting off? Or is this all playing the game, the political game?
See, I think it's a good question you bring up. I think he's playing the political game because, as far as I know, Heinz ketchup is not made by wind turbine and solar powered plants.
I don't think it is.
I'm just guessing. Look, Lurch went on to state, quote, "We are driven not by politics, not by ideology. We're driven by mathematics and physics, by science, which tells us and has been for 35 years or more, what will happen if we don't do X, Y, and Z? And if we have the advantage now of having Mother Nature herself share with us the realities of what happens if you don't do the things that we've been talking about for 25, 30 years or more," unquote. So, mathematics, physics, and science are to blame for stating unequivocally 51 years ago that we were heading into the ice age, and then 40 years ago we were heading into being well done roasted before settling on, well, you know, the weather's going to change, but we just don't know in what direction it's going to change. Is it any wonder that people with working brain cells have a problem with follow the science? Look, if I were to try and check all the social issue boxes here, I suspect that a blind, drunk, one-legged, black transgender lesbian suffering from PTSD over the January 6th insurrection and with erectile dysfunction throwing a dart at a spinning government-issued pie chart would stand a better chance of predicting the next century's weather more than mathematics, physics, or science. Lurch concluded his bone-crushing absurd statement by saying, quote, "You have a war, and obviously you're going to have massive emissions consequences to the war, but equally importantly, you're going to lose people's focus. You're going to lose certainly big country attention because they will be diverted, and I think it could have a damaging impact," unquote. First of all, Lurch is so mad that everybody is more concerned with the outbreak of World War III than the weather that he's vibrating like a spastic spider monkey on crack. And second, his only concern regarding the outbreak of World War III are the emissions? Say what? Are we to believe that Russia, Diane, would have never fired up their tanks and their armored vehicles were it not for the war? Are we to believe that somehow Russia's invasion of Ukraine is putting more carbon into the air than Kerry and the rest of his climate change cult leaders have done over the past several decades with their giant mansions, their giant SUVs, and flying to climate change conferences all over the world in their private jets?
Well, you know, something that has been left out of the equation to date, what about all those Ukrainians that are fleeing? Are they climate refugees now? Because, you know, they're coming on trains. Trains are spewing out more, whatever it is trains spew out. There's more cars on the road. What, is Kerry going to blame them next, too?
Well, yeah, I mean, but at least they're not flying on their own private jets, right?
That's true.
I mean, aren't those refugees that are heading to Poland, some of them walking, some of them running, some of them on trains, are those refugees from the climate of war offsetting the carbon footprint of Putin's invasion and war crimes because several of them are walking? And finally, all of this blathering bullcrap is over what exactly? Fossil fuels? Supposedly causing the climate to change? Where does a knothead like Lurch think fossil fuels come from to begin with? Well, I'll tell him. They come from dead things that used to be live things way back when. Fossil fuels are the byproduct of decomposing plants and animals. Such sources of fuels are found in the Earth's crust and contain carbon and hydrogen, making them perfect for the production of energy. Now, where on Earth can you find one of the largest reserves of such fossil fuel sources? Above the Arctic Circle, that's where. North of the Arctic Circle, one can find in the neighborhood of 90 billion barrels of oil, comprising nearly 13% of all the reserves on Earth, and nearly a quarter of untapped global gas resources on Earth as well. That's a huge amount of fossil fuel. But here's what Lurch doesn't want you to know. The only reason that fossil fuel is north of the Arctic Circle is because before there were people on this planet, before SUVs and giant mansions, before there was a Russia that could invade anybody's country, before the climate changed, because that's what the climate has done for the past 4.5 billion years, there were things above the Arctic Circle, plants and animals, that died and decomposed, leaving behind oil and gas. That's right. Way back in the distant past, the Arctic Circle was a very nice, warm, lushly vegetated place where lots and lots of critters lived and died when, through no fault of mankind, the Earth shifted on its axis, the climate changed, and whatever animals were living there at the time packed up all their crap, moved to Aurora, Colorado, where John Lurch Carey was hatched, and evolved into liberal Marxist idiots. Diane, the reason Lurch doesn't want us using fossil fuels because we might be putting ancient ancestors of his that were too damn stupid to move out of the way of the weather into our gas tanks, in our minivans, and burning them on a road trip to see Mount Rushmore. Come to think of it, with oil fast approaching $200 a barrel, Lurch's ancient ancestors are now worth a great deal more than he is.
Well, basically, John Kerry, Lurch as you call him, he's just an idiot wrapped in a moron. Because no one with half a brain working, even one brain cell working, can believe this nonsense. I think the only people that really buy into this stuff are the people who don't believe the age of the Earth and how many times we've gone through these cycles.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Lurch needs to pull his head out of his ass, shove a wind turbine and a solar panel up there sideways, sit down, and shut the hell up. The guy is more full of gas than the Hindenburg was, and we all know that didn't end well. Now then, if you'll excuse me, I have to go to the bank and check on the rate of a 48-month loan before I go to the gas station. I've got 4 stone presidents to visit up in South Dakota.
Cute.
I mean, when he said this stuff a week or so ago, I was just like, what in the hell is this idiot talking about now? He's more concerned that people aren't thinking about the climate 24/7 and too many people are concerned about the outbreak of a possible World War III. What the hell is wrong with this moron?
He is a political hack. And this is what they do. They focus on their agenda. They focus on forcing it down our throats, hoping we will accept it. And he's right up there at the top of the loons doing it.
You know, I don't know how to break it to him. But, you know, Putin says nukes aren't off the table. So if it comes to a nuclear war, is the Green New Deal really going to be that important?
It's not important now.
Well, I guess
it's
not.
It's a bunch of hogwash.
I mean,
it's nothing.
You know, it's people are paying attention to the war. They're distracted from the weather.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not distracted by it. I look out there. Whatever is happening that day, that's the weather. I know the weather goes through cycles. It has for billions of years and will continue to do so for billions of years. And I stress billions, folks, not 6,000. The weather is the weather is the weather. That's all it is. We cannot change it. We cannot affect it. Nothing.
I mean, it was literally 51 years ago on March 19th that we were told by, I think, no less than a scientific journal that unless we changed our ways, we were all going to freeze to death and Europe was going to be covered in glaciers and we wouldn't see a warming trend until 2015.
Right.
Okay. And according to those scientists back then, Europe was going to be covered in glaciers by the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it never happened.
No. And it won't happen.
You know, 20 That's years later, we were being told, oh, we're all going to bake to death because of global warming. That didn't happen.
No. But they had to keep the narrative going. They had to keep the scare tactic. What they're using climate change as is another means to keep the people in line.
Well, not only that, but they're using it as a way to raise revenue. You know,
absolutely.
Their agenda, what they want you to believe, folks, is that if you throw enough money at the weather, you can change the weather.
Mm-mm. Ain't gonna happen. You can seed a few clouds. That's about it. That's all we can do.
You know, and look, China's not getting on board with this crap. Okay.
They're the biggest carbon producer ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we produce a minuscule amount compared to them, but oh no, we got to save the whole planet. You know,
You know what it is, Craig? These politicians and these people who bow down to the climate change nonsense, what they're actually forgetting is the thing we should be concerned about is not the climate, is not the weather. How about pollution? They're two totally different items. Pollution causes more problems than the weather ever will. It causes problems for people who have lung disease, asthmatics, COPD patients, all sorts of people with lung issues. And the biggest polluter, the biggest country in the world that has the most pollution is China.
There's no doubt about it. And when you break things down, when you really start looking at climate change, okay, there's nothing man can do about it. The climate was changing before people were on this planet. It's been changing ever since people were on this planet. It's going to change even after people have left this planet. It's going to change all the way up to the day the planet finally dies.
You want to change the climate? Snuff out the sun.
Or move us to a different orbit.
Yeah. Tilt us. You know, none of that's going to happen, folks. The weather, you look out your window, that's your weather for the day. Okay, get over it. You want to battle something, battle pollution. But even that's ridiculous because we are fossil fuel dependent. They're afraid to go to nuclear, which is clean energy and does not leave a carbon footprint. Everybody's afraid of nuclear energy. You know, we have some nuclear plants in this country, but not enough.
Right.
Not only would it create jobs, but it leaves no carbon footprint. So we remain dependent on fossil fuels. Well, let's make them the best we can make them.
You know, eventually the day will come when we have nuclear fusion rather than fission.
Right. Okay, we already have it, but to a limited degree.
A very limited degree. We can't keep it going yet, but the day is going to come when it's perfectly viable. Okay, but then what's, you know, and that doesn't leave a carbon footprint, nor does it leave anything with a half-life.
Right.
Okay, so what will become the excuse then?
We have to keep the climate scare going.
Right, but what are they going to use?
The Democrats need this nonsense not only to make money and to pocket money, because they make money off of it.
Oh, you bet.
But to keep the people scared, to keep us in line, or so they hope.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but there are just too many people out there that actually think for themselves. And you know, this is
not enough,
but, you know, the idea behind this is you will do what your government tells you to do, and you will not question what your government says. The government says the climate is changing, and if we don't change our ways, the world will end in another 8 years.
But see, they keep moving up the time frame. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, the world was going to end, you know, 22 years ago when everything froze, but it didn't. It was going to end 15 years ago when everything baked, but it didn't. You know, AOC told us a couple of years ago we only have 10 years left, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think what we need to worry more about is a nut in Moscow, you know, pushing a button.
Right. I mean, look, if the polar ice caps are going to melt and, you know, everything's going to be underwater all the way up to the Mississippi River, if those idiots really believe that, why did Obama buy a house at Martha's Vineyard on the beach? Why did he buy houses on the beach in Hawaii?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is crap. It's one. Yeah. Look at the people who are yelling the loudest and look where they live.
And John Kerry travels to all his, you know, meetings and conferences he has to go to in his jet that leaves a huge carbon footprint. Guys, you got to look at the people involved in this and see what hypocrites they are.
Well, and, you know, industrialize, you know, this and that, right? You know, we got to stop all this. We got to turn our industry all green.
Yeah,
well, Heinz Ketchup, Teresa Heinz Carey, that's where your ketchup comes from.
Not
Teresa Heinz Carey, her ketchup manufacturing plants aren't being run by wind turbines and solar panels.
No.
You know, her ketchup isn't being shipped to stores in semis with sails on them.
And let's go even one step further. You can forget this electric car nonsense, too, because the charging stations that are needed for them to become truly a viable option, guess what those stations are run by?
They're run by coal. If you see a train going down the track with a mile of coal cars on it, what that is green energy moving down the track. Okay, that's what's going to power your electric car.
Yeah. And if you need a battery, I hope you have thousands of dollars to fix your electric cars.
I did a little calculation in the minute or so we got left here. I figured at the current cost of gas, if I went out and bought an electric car so I wouldn't have to buy gas, I would break even in 30 years. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. It would take me personally 28 point some years to break even.
Okay. And I'm not kidding, guys. If you look at the cost to replace a battery, which in a conventional automobile costs maybe a couple of $100 at the most, you're in for a rude awakening if you need a new battery in an electric car.
Your average electric car battery runs you about $12,000.
That's right.
And what happens to the old one? Because they can't recycle it. It gets buried in a landfill.
Right, to pollute more.
I mean, it's a vicious circle of idiocy. Folks, if you want the commentary, go to thenationalpatriot.com or go to rspradio1.com. Either way, you get the link, the weather versus the war, and please share it everywhere. But with that, Diane, we have plumb run out of time.
Okay. Nighty-night, guys, and see you on Friday.
Have a great rest of the week, folks. We'll get you up to speed on Friday. Bye-bye.